السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are discussing this incident of Shibli Rahmatullah Ali requesting Bayat from Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali. So, as we mentioned in the last week and the previous week, initially, the Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali told Shibli Rahmatullah Ali that you must go 1 year, go and ask all the people Maafi. The people that you ruled over, go and ask them for Maafi. When he came back after that year, then he told him, now you go and beg. At the end of that year, nobody gave him any money. So he told him, you go beg again. We'll come to the incident. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was mentioning that today's time bay'at has become very cheap. And sometimes the murid also, he doesn't understand that his islah is being made. And the murid also, he doesn't understand that when the sheikh tells him something, then he must regard it like a hukam. But today, we are not prepared to follow that. We are not prepared to. We want to be free thinking. We want to do what we feel like doing. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentions that before, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali say, oho, you know, in Urdu, they used to talk. He say, previously, great trials and tests took place before initiation into a silsila. Just to become bay'at, before you become bay'at. Lot of trials took place before you could even be given bay'at. So a person who came to ask for bay'at, he was being scrutinized. He was being scrutinized unbeknown to him. He didn't even realize what is happening. So he was being interviewed. He was being interviewed. So the mashayikh in the days gone by used to interview the potential murid. The idea was to see whether he had any worth in him for this important privilege of entering into a silsila. One sheikh used to provide the applicant with a meal and he will give him curry and roti. And normally with that amount of roti, you're supposed to finish that amount of curry. Salan and roti. He'll give it to him and then he'll observe him. If both the salan and the roti was eaten, then well and good. This person has got some i'tidal in him. But now if he finished all the roti and there still is salan, or he finished all the salan and there still is roti, then there's no equilibrium in him. So now, before he even takes bay'at, that all was sorted out. Sort this out first, before you can even enter into a silsila. Our temperaments are not the same. When the sheikh sees that this person got no equilibrium in him, say now there is no munasabat. Right? The sheikh knows his temperament. And if this person doesn't have that equilibrium in him, then we are not going to gel. We won't gel. And if we're not going to gel, then how are you going to benefit? And how am I going to benefit? Both sides have to benefit, right? Not to say there's anything wrong with you or anything wrong with the sheikh. But the sheikh understands his tabiat. That's why people sometimes they feel that when they are ready to take bay'at, then they must just come take bay'at. There are a lot of people today, Yeah, right. I want to take bayat. What's the procedure? They don't understand that you go and you request. You go and request. Now the sheikh, sometime he will test this person. How much water he got in him? Is he really serious about this thing? You tell him, oh no, I'm nakara, nachis, this, that way, you're coming by me. Now, if that person, he was really looking for cheddar cheese or gouda cheese, and yet he said nachis, he goes away. So then, his test finished take place, and he wasn't really serious. He didn't really have yatiman on the sheikh. That's why he went away somewhere else. But the person who really made up his mind that, no, I want my Islah, I'm going by the feet of the sheikh and I'm not going to move from there. No matter what knocks he gives me, no matter what he does, I'm not going to move from there. So now he will stay. Whether he is given bay'at or not, that's immaterial. He wants his Islah to be made. So he will just remain there. Sometimes the bay'at will only come after 3-4 years, 1-2 years. But the Islah is taking place. So the candidate failed the interview. In worldly matters, a lot of emphasis is placed on the interview, right? Nowadays when you go to see one girl too, that too became like an interview. People want to get married nowadays. So one side, the girl got one whole parchi with 1 dozen questions, and the boy got 1 parcha with 1.5 dozen questions. Who made this permissible? It's not permissible. You can't sit there and have a long conversation with the girl, asking her this question, that question, that question. And who's going to speak the truth there? One girl mentioned, she said, no, when the boy came to propose, then I told him that I won't be able to handle a smoker. He must have been smelling like a stompy or something. So she realized this fellow is smoking. So she told him, no, I won't be able to handle a smoker. So he said, yeah, no, I'll give it up. So she said, no, so many years later, he's still smoking. So does it carry weight? All those questions you ask and those answers you get at that time. The maqsad for that is the boy must just see the girl, that's all. Boy must see the girl, girl sees the boy. Right? Just to see that now, if I marry this woman and tomorrow morning when I wake up, so would I be happy or I'll scream? The one of the two. So if I'm happy that no, when I wake up, if she's sitting next to me, I'll be happy. And she say, no, if I wake up next to him, I'll be happy. That's all. After that, all other discussions and all that, that the elders must do. That carries more weight at that time. But the elders' talk carries more weight. Today, unfortunately, even people of ilm are caught up in this. Sometimes it is said that even apas, adimas, they are advising their students, you must ask this question, ask that question, ask that question. And the boys also, I don't know who's advising them, you must ask this and ask that and ask that. One person went to see one girl, he told her, stand up. No, you must stand up. I can't see you. You're sitting down, I can't see. Coca-Cola bottle or what bottle is it? Stand up. Now, what kind of behavior is this? No sharam, no. What kind of behavior is this? So that meeting the girl and boy is not our topic, but it's become a problem today. That the girl's got 1 dozen questions, boy's got 1 dozen questions. You must always understand, in the dunya, there's no foolproof. In the dunya, there's no foolproof. Today, we think everything we're going to cover. I'm going to cover everything. Well, my back covered here, my back covered there. Motor car is covered there. Health is covered here. House is covered there. Marriage is covered here. No, man. Something must slip through the covers. The world is a place of test, trial, and you've got to trust in Allah Ta'ala. The best of people got married and sometimes it never worked out. Even among Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, nikah took place. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself performed the nikah. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself put the two together too. And that nikah too never worked out. Hazrat Zaid radiyallahu anhu and Hazrat Zainab radiyallahu anha, who got them married? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It never worked out. It was Allah Ta'ala's plan. Allah had something bigger picture. I won't have the time to go into the whole thing. But the point is that a couple now, the boy will go and see the girl will see the boy. In today's time, it's so sad. You never heard of these things before. The boy comes away, the girl goes down, they make istikhara and everything. Then after that, the girl say, no man, came to come again, I never see properly. He must come again second time. Where you heard of these things? Sometimes the boy is saying, no, I never see properly. Ask them if I can go again to see. And yet, if we look into the lives of our pious people, so many of them, they didn't even see their wife before they got married. So many of our ulama, in this, I'm talking now the ulama whom we regard as the seniors, like our Hazrat Muhammad Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Ali and others, they were in India, they were studying. Now they were almost completing their studies and coming home. The family finished decide who they're going to get married to. They came here, said, I know we sorted it out there, certain person's house, right, to make the nikah khalas. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, he was at a jalsa, and the two students, they completed their course, they qualified. And he said, right, he's making the nikah, they nikah to his daughters. He didn't even ask them anything. See, he's making the nikah. After that, we'll go and inform them, your nikah was made. If they're happy, they're happy. When they were informed now that your nikah has been performed. Imagine they didn't even know before that their nikah is going to be performed. Their nikah was being performed, they didn't know. And today what they say, no, it's my big day. That big day, well, it became big day. We know about big night, 15 Shaban, 27 odd nights in Ramadan, 10 nights of Zulhijjah, no, no, day, wedding day became big day. So, no, it's my big day. So, the daughters of Hazrat Sheikh, their nikah was made. Then the message was sent home that get them ready. The nikah is made now, get them ready. The ruksati must take place now. So, the Hazrat Sheikh's family, he said, no, we didn't sew anything for them, clothes, this, that. So he sent a message back. He said, I didn't know my daughters, up to today, they were not wearing clothes. In other words, whatever clothes they got, send them with that clothes, Usmekya. Life was simple. Ma Aisha radiallahu anha, she had one garment by her. Whoever was getting married in Madinah Munawwara, they used to come borrow that garment. So many people wore the same thing. Today, forget the bride. The ladies in the halls having a ball, eating doll. Nowadays, they're not eating doll also. But now, the ladies in the hall, they're not getting married. They just invited their cousin, dozen, something, auntie, something. Now, they too don't want somebody else to be wearing same material like me. It's not even they nikah. Some of them are grannies too, but they're so worried. No, nobody must wear same material like me. And they imagine how many people wore the same outfit of Ma Aisha radiallahu anha on their nikah day. Today, our priorities are upside down. The things we're not supposed to be giving importance to, so much of importance is given to them. And things that we're supposed to be giving importance to, that we're not paying no attention to. As a currently, let's say I'm going to talk about current affairs. Eh? So currently now, people are seeing on the WhatsApp and here and there, there's a new system for Hajj now. Now whether it's Teshuda Baat or not, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Whether it's really confirmed or not confirmed, I'm not making no announcement here. I'm just telling you what's going around in the social media. Now, some people are saying, no more Sauk now. You apply via the Nusuk app, direct, no more agents, no more this, whole story. Now, whether it's ready or not, Allah Ta'ala knows. Now, with regards to this, so much of charcha. Now, one is sarsari torpar, you just discuss it. The other is now so much going, now Hajj gonna, some are saying Hajj gonna get so expensive now. Others say no, now it will get cheap now. And so much of discussion. Whether some are pro, and some are, for it, some are anti it, whatever. Now, Hazrat Muhammadul Hamid Sahib Daun Barakatuh, he mentioned, on who is Hajj Faraz? On whom is Hajj Faraz? So Hajj is Faraz on the person who got the money. So if you haven't got the money, now the poor person is saying, when I'm going to afford to go for Hajj? But if you can't afford to go for Hajj, who made it Faraz on you? So why are you stressing? It's not Faraz on you. If you haven't got the money, it's not Faraz on you. What are you stressing about? The day Allah Ta'ala makes it faraz on you, Allah Ta'ala gives you the money, then Allah will give you adequate money. He'll give you sufficient money. You think Allah Ta'ala doesn't know what's the price of Hajj. Allah Ta'ala knows how much Hajj is. So if Allah Ta'ala wants you to be there, He will make the asbab, He'll give you the money, then you go. Right? But now so much of search and fikr, and now we need to form an organization and we need to do this, and who's robbing us? Agents are robbing us, or Saudi is robbing us, or Saudi is robbing us. Who's robbing? We need to get to the bottom of this thing. Right? We need to sort this whole problem out. But so many in that same circle, there is no administration to come for namaz. And that is for us, rich, poor, whatever. To come for namaz 5 times a day, that is for us. There, why are we falling short? There, it's for us. There's no, when you get the money, then it's for us. But there, we're not so worried that our masjid is empty. Let's make one committee now. Let's join the Jamaat brothers and go for Gashman. What's happening in our community? Why the masjid is so empty? Let's all go for Gash now. We'll knock on all the doors and call the people for namaz. What's going on here? There's no fikr. But the Hajj story is a big story now. But that's not for us on the poor people. The rich people, they finish go for Hajj. Now if they can't afford to go second time, then sit down at home. Nobody is asking you to go every year. Who's asking you to bribe and buy visas and go back door and this door and all that door? If you finish do your Hajj, it's for us on you. You finish go and finish now. Nobody said it for us for you to go second time and third time. You have to go every year. And you must bluff the people you're not going for Hajj and don't wear ihram and pass the miqat and go break this law and that law. And I'm not a mufti. What's permissible and not permissible, you find out from them. But nobody asked you to do all of that. That's the point. Nobody asked you to do that. But namaz, but there we don't see that fervor and that shock that I must go for namaz. So our priorities sometimes, priorities are off. So in the dunya we must realize whether it's marriage, whether it's business, whether it's trying to become a hafiz, whatever it may be, right? What's needed from us is to be obedient to Allah Ta'ala. We must follow the commands of Allah Ta'ala, follow the Sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fear Allah Ta'ala, maintain taqwa. Ulaika humul faizun. They are successful people. After that, whatever the end result, that's Allah Ta'ala's prerogative. Right? That's Allah's decree. A person opened a business, whether he's going to be successful in the business or not, in other words, whether the business is going to make money or not, that is Allah Ta'ala's decision. But if he opened the business, Hazrat Imam Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, down barakatuhu, our Sheikh in Murshid, he always mentions this example. We move the thing from there, it's not kicking. We have a problem. Move it one second. So, Hazrat always mentions that if a person opened a business, halal money, opened a business, he did everything according to Shariat. Whatever he's selling there, all halal products, everything he did according to Shariat. And the business didn't work out. He's a successful businessman. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, he's a successful businessman. Everything he did right. Now, if it wasn't decreed for the business to work, that is Allah's decision. Finish. But if a person broke Allah Ta'ala's commands, right? Halal, haram, sab kuch andar, maskal andar, everything is carrying on. Now, never mind, we say his business is roaring. Say he's minting, printing money in that business. He's printing money in that business. Right? No matter what. But if he's not following Allah's command, he's an unsuccessful businessman. He has failed as a businessman. Even if the business is making millions and billions, he has failed as a businessman. Understand? A person is trying to become Hafizul Quran, he's trying his best. He's reading all his namazes, he's making dua to Allah Ta'ala, he's trying, he's staying away from gunas and everything, right? And he's trying. But he just can't make it. Doesn't have that hafiza, he's trying, battling, but learning, forgetting, trying. He is not a failure in the sight of Allah. He's not a failure in the sight of Allah. Another person, he got a very sharp magaj Allah gave him. Sharp brain. Hey, 2 twos, he can learn it, 2 pages, 1.5 page, 3 page, no problem. Right? He's backbiting, he's listening music, he goes home weekend watching TV, looking movies in the phone, all these things he's doing, haram, girlfriend he got, social media is on this, taking out that photo, this he's doing, that he's doing, right? But Monday morning he comes, 3 pages, sabak, finishes his 2 years, 2.5 years, he knows his Quran and everything too. He's a failure as a hafiz. As a hafiz, he is a failure. Understand? So, we will be successful if we are in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, in the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, living our life, a life of taqwa, then we are successful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise we are failures. No matter what we are doing, we are failing. A person who will be first flung in Jahannam. Isn't it mentioned? A scholar, a mujahid, a generous person. Why? Because their niyat was wrong. Outwardly, the actions are very beautiful. Beautiful actions outwardly. But the niyat was wrong. So they will be flung into Jahannam. Allahumma hafazna. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali mentions one incident here regarding a person by the name of Ghulam Yahya. So Hazrat Ji mentions that this Ghulam Yahya, he is well known to the students. Hazrat Ji is mentioning there in Jalalabad. But there used to be a lot of students also sitting in the majlis. So Hazrat Ji mentioned that he was, you know, a senior alim, this is Ghulam Yahya, excelling in falsafa and mantik. This was his two strong subjects, falsafa, philosophy, and mantik, logic. Right? And Hazrat Ji mentioned that his kitab is still taught as a textbook for those who study these subjects. So he presented himself at the home of a very renowned Sheikh-e-Tariqat, Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali. So he went to him. Now he was a Naqshbandi Sheikh, Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi. But the Naqshbandi Shuyukh, it was their habit that they have a doorman, you know, somebody at the door. So you can't just enter, you go, you get permission from the doorman before you can enter. So the doorman may have been one of the murids who's on khidmat or whatever, but there should always be somebody there. So he went, he got permission, and the doorman, you know, got permission from the sheikh, and eventually he went in, permission was obtained. So Ghulam Yahya entered and he greeted, Assalamu alaikum. Now, he's an alim, right? Senior alim. And he's going now to the sheikh, Mirza Jane Jana. So Mirza Jane Jana, rahmatullahi, he said, Wa alaikum salam. And then he picked his head up and he looked at him. He looked at Ghulam Yahya. And then he covered his face. And he said, Imagine, first time you're going to meet a person, right? You're an anim now. You're going to meet the person first time. And as you make salam, you enter, he just looks at you, hey, if it's us, today the situation is such, the sheikh is frightened. Sheikh is frightened now, mustn't offend the person now. Person mustn't get offended now. How are you talking to him? What do you say? The sheikh is afraid now, mustn't offend, mustn't hurt his feelings now. And imagine that time now. The first time he didn't do anything, he just gave me salam. Mirza Jane Jana said, go from here. Now if that much, if he did, but then listen to what he says. Mirza Jane Jana rahmatullahi, he says, go away from here. We don't have place here for bears. We don't have place for bears here. Go away. So, Ghulam Yahya quickly came out of the room. He mustn't upset the sheikh. Came out from the room. And now he's sitting and he's trying to think, why is Mirza Jane Jana rahmatullahi calling me a bear? So the situation was that Ghulam Yahya, he had a very thick beard. And he, at that time, he used to keep it very unkempt. Maybe he was so immersed in his studies, no time for all, you know, like Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Sahib, Sahib-e-Majlis. You see, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali used to reprimand him, maybe in a loving way, that now go and take a bath, go and change the clothes, go, because he was so immersed in the studies, got no time for anything else. So maybe this was the same with Ghulam Yahya. So he realized that no, Mirza Jane Jana is upset with the way my beard is. So he went to the barber, he went and neatened himself, had a nice trim, obviously within the parameters of the Shariat, right? Shaped, you know, combed his hair, everything nicely, and now he came again. Came again. Now he doesn't even know if that is the reason. You know, it reminds us of that Sahabi. We can't compare the Sahabi to a non-Sahabi, but I'm not saying that the Sahabi's incident is same like this. No, can never be. It just refreshed my mind of the incident of that Sahabi. That he had built a house, you know, built a house and like a smart looking house. Because it was the outstanding compared to the houses on the street. And Huzur Akdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went past, said, iska makan hai, you know. Whose house is this? Kono ghar che, you know? Whose house is this? So they gave the Sahabi's name. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything. And the Sahabi doesn't know anything. And the Sahabi came later on, he came in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he made salam. And he didn't get jawab. Couple times he made salam, he didn't get jawab. Had it been us, so must be something against me. I don't know, now all our mind starts working like that. We don't, there's no fault with me. It's always the next person that the fault is on that person. But look at this sahabi now. If pondering even to the other sahaba is easy. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say anything, did I do anything, did I cause some problem, you know. So they said, no, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anything, but one thing, when he was going past your house, he asked whose house this is. Right? So he didn't even go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to ask, you know, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is my house the problem or nothing. He went and demolished it. You think it's an easy thing? You think it's an easy thing? But this was how much the happiness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant to them. That he, now, you know, like in today's time, the man builds his dream house now, you know. So the Sahabi, he may have put so much of money, effort into that thing. But if it is causing displeasure to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it rather be demolished. And after he did that, he didn't even come now for a pat on the back. Because he doesn't even know if it is that true. And after some time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes past. That house was here. What happened? He said, no, he broke the house. Then when he came in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's presence, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was happy with him. So this Ghulam Yahya, he just pondered now, what could be the problem? But you see, Al-Aqilu Takfi Al-Ishara. An intelligent person, he can read it now. So Allah Pak put it in his mind, must be your peer, your appearance. So he went, sorted that out, and then he came back. Came back. He didn't go away. He came back. But this time when he came, now the response was totally different. Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullahi welcomed him happily, asked him to be seated, complimented him. Said, MashaAllah, now you're looking like an insan now. You know? Neat, tidy, everything. Made him sick. So see how quick the interview was. Just a glance and the interview was over. So these mashayikh used to do those things, right? Today's time it's different, it's not like that. What I must do, there's a lot of barakat in this incident. It's not finishing off. Every week I think we're gonna finish it, but it's not finishing. Fair. Main thing is we take the lessons, whatever little is read of the majalis of our akabirin. Allah Ta'ala, give me first the tawfiq to take lesson. Give us all tawfiq to take lesson. This being neat and tidy and all that is part of our deen. Sometimes a person, they feel that untidiness and creased up clothes and all that is piety. No such thing. Our Hazrat Mu'izz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, always immaculate, you know. Always immaculate, immaculate. And towards the end, he used to be in full white. Topi, kurta, ijar, socks, shoes also. Full white, with white shoes. So he used to be all the time immaculate. And when Hazrat used to go to the Khanqah, Bazar Shah ki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, so sometime at night, after everybody is gone, then Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to send a message for Hazrat to come there to the room. So if we now, you get a message, are you running now, you know, putting the lungi and everything and running. Right? So people who were there, I was never ever there with Hazrat in Pakistan, but people who were there, they mentioned, they say he will wake up make sure he dresses up neatly. Topi must be in a certain, how he normally is, immaculate. Then he'll go and present himself. The one person who was there with Hazrat one trip, he told me on the one night, about 3 or 4 times, Hazrat Hakim Sahab sent for Hazrat. And each time he went dressed up properly, you know, like how he normally is, and he went like that. He never went in front of his sheikh in an untidy, unkempt manner. So, the person sometime is growing his beard, so big the beard is growing all year on top and everything. So the Buzurgan did also, they say, Bibi ka bhi ek hissa hai, are you going to make your beard grow all year on top? So where's going to be her hissa now? So sometimes people, they don't worry about cleanliness, body odor, all these things, they get takleef. The person is smoking like a chimney and then he's going by his wife after that. So all this cleanliness, being neat, being tight, you know, being organized, orderly, all this is part of our deen, to know where our things are, which pocket we keep what. In the dark also you must be able to find your things. All this is part of our deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Think of you. 2 weeks time is ijtima also. Make a lot of dua that Allah Ta'ala make the ijtima, all the preparations, everything take place with afiyat, with ease. And Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our hidayat, hidayat of entire mankind, all the jamaats that are around, working towards the ijtima. We must try and make the nusrat also, spend time, and also make lot of dua, make lot of dua. And then, I think 1-2 weeks after that is the overnight program, just check up properly what date. So overnight program. Make dua for that also. And make dua for all our works of deen. All works of deen. Because every work of deen can be a means of hidayat. One person gets saved from Jahannam, how happy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become. Whichever way the person gets saved, long as he gets saved, that's the important thing. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.